Good morning. Hey, how many of you have had some great family vacation memories? Yeah, a lot of us, right? How many of you have had some not so great family vacation memories? Beth's hand went up like the fastest I've ever seen anybody's hand go up. That's something like we need her to come up here and tell a story at some point. And I hope it involves Earl, because those are even the best stories, right? But we all do, don't we? Why? Because families are messy, right? Families are dysfunctional, right? And why is your family messy and dysfunctional? Because you're part of it, right? That's why. And that's what we spent some time talking about last week. I actually got a lot of great compliments about last week's sermon, and that just tells me one thing. All of you are really dysfunctional. And you could relate to that, right? And so you're like, oh, that was such a great sermon. I'm right there. I'm so dysfunctional. And so, no, but people in church just need to stop being so fake. Your life isn't like your Facebook pictures. And that's what we talked about last week. You don't have to fake it to make it. And when we can begin to be real with each other, that's when healing takes place. So just realize that your family is not perfect. It's dysfunctional. But that doesn't define you. Jesus defines you. Jesus could care less about your highlight reel. He sees your outtakes, and he still loves you the same. Amen? That's good news. Hey, this morning we're continuing this family vacation series by talking about the idea of what matters most in the family. And specifically, I'm going to be talking to the parents, but this message goes across the board. This message reaches everybody. Do we have any baseball fans in here? Anybody like baseball fans? Cam, yeah, Cam likes baseball. In 1998, were you even born in 1998, Cam? You were? How old were you? You weren't born in 1998, kid. Get out of here. In 1998, Mark McGwire broke Roger Maris' home run record. Who remembers that? Anybody remember that? Anybody watching that game? I was. I actually remember I was in my parents' house sitting on the couch eating Burger King and watching the game, because I always eat Burger King when I sit on the couch watching TV. But the funny thing about that was after Mark McGwire hit the home run, he actually forgot to touch first base. The excitement, the energy in the stadium, the flash bulbs going off, he was so caught up in the moment that he forgot to touch first base. He actually had to stop and turn around and touch first base before he could continue around the bases. McGwire had this to say about that moment. I sort of missed one big thing, to touch first base. I hope I didn't act foolish, but this is history. And here's the truth. So many of us want to hit a home run in our families. We want to excel. We want to exceed expectations. We want to knock it out of the park. But listen very closely. A home run doesn't count if you miss first base. You with me? A home run doesn't count if you miss first base. Do you want to know what the first base is in your family? It's that. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If your family isn't all about Jesus, then you can't hit a home run. You can't hit a triple or even a double. If it's not all about Jesus, then you've missed first base and you're out. Psalm 127, the first part of verse 1, was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived, Solomon. And he said this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Whether you realize it or not, you're building something in your home. You are building something in your marriage. You are building something in your family. But if you aren't partnering with God in the building, it's all in vain. It's all for nothing. If Jesus is not the foundation, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And there's the target you should be trying to hit. That is what parenting is all about. That is the most important thing, to bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I know this verse says fathers, but it can actually mean mothers too. It can actually apply to both parents. Actually, some translations actually say, parents, do not exasperate your children. What is the most important thing? It's one word. One word. That right there. Discipleship. Everybody say discipleship. Discipleship. Everybody say it again. Discipleship. Discipleship. In other words, raising our kids to be disciples of Jesus. That is the most important thing for God-honoring parents. Not good grades, not excelling at sports, not getting into the right college, not helping them find a good job. Those aren't bad things, but they aren't the most important thing. The most important thing is discipleship, raising our kids in the training and instruction of the Lord, helping our children to understand what it means to actually be a disciple of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. This is not normal. Normal. This is not the most important thing for normal families. This isn't normal parenting, even in a lot of Christian homes. Did you know that the statistic is that right now, 70% of kids are going to walk away from God entirely when they go off to college? 70%. That number is astounding. But it actually doesn't surprise me. You want to know why it doesn't surprise me? And there may be some here that aren't going to like what I have to say, but I've never actually been one to shy away from saying the tough things we all need to hear. It doesn't surprise me because we can't even get new volunteers downstairs in our Kids Connection and in our Kids Connection Wednesday Night program. We have mostly the same people who have given up their time to invest in the children here at FBC. And don't get me wrong, they do a fantastic job. But why should it only be a small group of people who are willing to invest in the children here and help disciple them? Ouch. And if we are indifferent to the kids when they're here at this church, what does that tell us about what kind of discipleship they're getting at home? Double ouch, right? It's time for us to embrace what it actually means to raise our kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's time for us to embrace what it actually means to disciple our kids. This morning, I want to take a look at some of the normal trends I see in families and then talk about what you can do to stop the normal and really disciple your kids. And the first normal trend I see in a lot of families is parents who teach their kids that it's all about you. It's all about you. Anyone know parents like this? I'm the only one who knows parents. Okay, me and Dave. Okay, a couple of us. Good. The life of their family revolves around the children. After all, God wants me to love my kids, right? So I just designed my whole world and it revolves around them. And this is all well-intentioned. After all, we see devastating effects when kids are neglected, unloved, or even abused. And so a lot of Christian parents see that, and then they proceed to overreact in their own families, and they make their kids their whole world. Everything is about the kids. Everything revolves around the kids. Everything takes a back seat to the kids. Even the marriage goes on the back burner for the sake of the kids. Can I give you one word to describe this? And some of you may not like this, but the Bible actually calls this adultery. Idolatry. Some of you love your kids, absolutely. Should your kids be the center of your universe? Absolutely not. Because that's where Jesus belongs. And to be honest, it doesn't do your kids any favors when they become the center of everything. That ends up instilling selfishness and narcissism in them, which is pretty much the polar opposite of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Our kids need to learn this truth from us. Your life is not about you. But the problem is that a lot of us can't teach them that lesson because we've never learned it ourselves. Which is exactly why we get spiritually stuck. You can't be a self-absorbed disciple of Jesus. If your goal is to focus on you, to take care of number one, I'm looking out for me because nobody else is going to, you're going to be miserable. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, right there on the screen. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Consider others better than yourself. Translation, it's not about you. Your life is not about you. Now that doesn't sound like the culture we live in, does it? We live in one of the most self-absorbed, narcissistic cultures that has ever lived. Case in point, vague booking. Anybody know what that means? Vague booking? Where someone posts a vague status on Facebook, right? Everybody's like, oh yeah, now I know. Like they just post the word ugh. Or maybe they post, I'm so over this. You with me? No explanation, no more details, just a vague complaint that most of the time can be translated as, please pay attention to me. Please feed my narcissism. Please, please, please ask me what's wrong. Right? Look, you had a bad day. I get it. My family has had more of their fair share of bad days. Trust me, I get it. And I'm not suggesting that you be fake on social media and act like everything is hunky-dory when it isn't. If you were here last week, then you know that's not what I'm saying. But Facebook drama is not the way to sort it out either. It's just going to come off as, look at me, look at me, look at me. Which is polar opposite of being a selfless follower of Jesus. The point is, if you're always trying to get everyone to pay attention to you, if it's all about you, then you're going to have a hard time disciplining your kids or discipling your kids, because selfishness and sacrifice is discipleship 101. Okay. Now that everyone is sufficiently offended, let's keep going. Another normal trend I see in a lot of parents today is discipline feels unloving. Discipline feels unloving. Feels unloving to punish my child. And it also makes my child sad or mad, and I don't think they'll love me anymore. Let me be as straightforward as I can. The most important thing in your as a parent to disciple your kid, and there's nothing, there's no such thing as an undiscipled disciple or undisciplined disciple. The most important thing your parent in parenting is to disciple your kid is discipline, because there's no such thing as an undisciplined disciple. Revelations 13, 9, first verse of 13. And remember, this is actually Jesus talking here. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Jesus turns normal upside down. Normal says that it feels unloving to discipline. However, Jesus flips it upside down and tells us that discipline is an act of love. Proverbs 13, 24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Again, this truth turns normal upside down. Normal says that it feels unloving to discipline my child. But truth says that if you withhold discipline, you actually hate your child. Hate. That's a strong word, right? But it's not my word. That's the Bible's word. So if it makes you mad, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the author. Take it up with the guy who wrote the book. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. Don't fail to discipline your child. They won't die if you spank them. Yeah, I love sarcasm. Sarcasm in the Bible, right? That's grade A sarcasm right there in the Bible. Don't fail to discipline your child. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Your kid isn't going to die if you spank them. And there's also truth. And that discipline may actually save their life down the road. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but in our culture today, I do. I'm not advocating child abuse of any kind. Actually, look at the verse from Proverbs 13:24 again. It says, but the one who loves him is what? Careful to discipline them. When a parent disciplines their child, it's done carefully. That's really important to remember in the area of spanking. It's not done in anger. It's not done in the heat of the moment, which I'm horrible at. I'll be the first one to say I'm horrible at that. But it's done calmly, and it's done carefully. The bottom line is discipline is loving. It doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean you have to enjoy it. But it does mean that if you love your kids, you have to do it. The last normal trend I see in families is grace doesn't live here. Grace doesn't live here. Grace? Grace died 30 years ago. That's Christmas Vacation quote, if you guys didn't get it. Grace is what we say before meals, right? But it's not something that's lived out. Families where the kids are not allowed to fail, where the standards are set so high that their kids could never reach it. And when they inevitably fall short, they live with the very real knowledge that they let their parents down, which is devastating. Actually, one time, I think Riley did something to Kara, and Kara was mad, and so Riley was crying and stuff, and I said, hey, Riley, just go in the room and ask, say this to mom, say, Mom, can you just give me grace? And like immediately turn that situation around, because how could you say that? How could you, when a kid comes to you and say, can you just give me grace? How could you say no? But I'm sure I could at some point, but it was so cute. It was funny. And Kara probably smacked me later because she wanted to be mad. Back to Ephesians chapter 6:4. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not exasperate your children with unrealistic expectations, with unreachable goals and demands, and by withholding grace when they fail. Sure, there is a time for discipline, but the next phase is forgiveness. Voicing words of forgiveness to your kids, it's not enough to think it or feel it. You actually have to say it. Let them know that you have forgiven them and you are moving on. It's over. That can't be just words. It has to have some action behind it. If you say it's over, then you have to live like it's over. And you know what that will do? It will give your kids a tangible view of what the grace of God is like. When God forgives us, it really is over. It is unmerited. It is completely undeserved. Once grace takes control, it's over. No more grudges. No more guilt. Our parenting should be a direct reflection of that kind of grace. Remember what we said at the beginning. Our target is discipleship. The most important thing is to bring our kids up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That means it's our job to teach them about grace. But a lot of us can't teach our kids about grace because we don't understand it ourselves. There are way too many people who claim the name of Christ but still let the ghosts of their past haunt them. Grace means that your past does not dictate your future. If it did, then the grace of God is completely without power. The power of grace is that God can change any life. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The whole reason Jesus came was to set us free. And because Jesus has set you free, you can raise your kids to know a love greater than anything you could ever give them. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the fact that we do not have to raise our families on our own. We do not have to try and do everything ourselves, but you are right there in our midst, Father. And help us to rise above the normal standards that family life looks like in our culture today. Help us to realize that the number one thing in our families is that it's all about Jesus. So, Father, help us to live like that. And when the tendency is in our own lives, it becomes so selfish and self-centered that we want our world to revolve around us. Help us realize that can't happen. That our world has to revolve around you. That you have to be the center of our lives, and that includes our families. Father, help us to realize that our kids aren't only supposed to hear about Jesus when they come to church, but they're supposed to hear about Jesus in the home. Help us give parents the tools that they need to do that. And Father, I pray that you will rise up some people who are willing to work with our children so that our current teachers can get some breaks, rest in you, and then our kids can hear Jesus from some other people too. That they can hear other people's stories as well. So Father, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and the life of this church. Continue to help us keep at the front of our minds the 22,000 people in this around this community, Father, that don't know you. In Williams County, who don't know you, Father. Still got a lot of things left to do. We got a big job ahead as we continue to pursue you in our lives, but most importantly, we continue to pursue people and help them know you better, Father. We just thank you. We love you. In your name we pray.